Continuing the tractor theme here, World War I remains one of the deadliest and most destructive efforts in human history, with tens of millions of casualties. But the Great War also helped create something, too. Caterpillar, a company that remains one of Central Illinois' most important employers and its top global export. GLT's Ryan Denham visits with historian and archivist Lee Fosberg from Caterpillar about World War I ahead of his March 13th presentation at the McLean County Museum of History.
Caterpillar really became the company that it is today because of World War I and because of these two companies. So Caterpillar really came out of the Northern California area. It was two family-run companies. The first was the Holt Manufacturing Company. It was run by a person named Benjamin Holt, and he was the inventor of what we know today as the track-type tractor, or what we call dozers. And it came out of the world of agriculture. And he first invented combine harvesters that were originally pulled by horses. And through technology and efficiency, it was like, how can we make this, you know, more practical? And he invented steam tractors that had wheels. But because of the environment of where they were in Stockton, California, the track-type tractor took off, and he was really the person behind that. The other thing that he coined the phrase was Caterpillar, and that was the trademark of his company. And when it ended up merging with another company, that was the name that the companies took.
What's this other company that comes into play, the C.L. Best Tractor Company?
It's kind of an interesting story with Best in that C.L. Best was the son of a person called Daniel Best. And Daniel Best was actually a big competitor with Benjamin Holt. He had a company that was in San Leandro, California, which is a little bit closer to Oakland. And he made steam tractors. He made combine harvesters. But he had a 13-year-old son that worked for him, C.L. Best. And what he ended up doing was selling out his company to Benjamin Holt, with the idea that C.L. Best would run that company as a subsidiary. Well, C.L. Best ended up having a falling out with Benjamin Holt, and he created his own company. And that company kind of leads us up to World War I. And so you had Holt as a big competitor in the world of track-type tractors, and you had C.L. Best as a competitor in track-type tractors.
How do both of these companies get involved in World War I and the war effort?
It's interesting that both companies were vying for, you know, government business for the war, just like a lot of companies were. Now, the track-type tractor was used to pull and haul things, in like artillery pieces, wagons. Where Benjamin Holt had a step up on C.L. Best was he had a much older company. It was a much larger company. So they were able to show to the government they should get the government contracts. Best was a small startup company. He was not able to get the government contracts. But what he was able to get from the government was the assurance he could still build tractors, because you're talking about a time that steel and things for government use was in short supply because, again, these were agriculture tractors. He was able to keep on selling to the domestic market, where Holt totally switched over to the government. And most of those tractors were actually made for the war effort right here in Peoria.
Is this just the American government we're talking about, or was this equipment going to foreign governments as well?
Well, you know what? It was going to both. And actually, Holt was selling these products. You know, the United States really got into the war at very late. And weren't really in it that long compared to the other European powers. But Holt was selling to the British, the French, and the Imperial Russia before the United States got into the war. So these products had been used across the European theater and the African theater, way before the U.S. got into it.
So am I picturing this correctly? This is equipment that was built for agricultural use, but it's being used in wartime to, like, drag around heavy artillery?
Absolutely. And what you're kind of learning out of this, right, it's now starting to be used for other applications. And, how we think of Caterpillar today, right, we're in construction, we're into moving earth. The beginning of that you first start to see is during this era of World War I. And then after the war, you start to see, because of, you know, the modern automobile and stuff, you start to see that the tractor's starting to be used, you know, in road building. And you could really trace the roots back to World War One as were a watershed moment of where these started to slowly flip to being used for non-agricultural purposes.
How does all of this pull these two companies together, closer to merger, and ultimately the Caterpillar that we know today?
Well, really what came out of the war, I think, are several different things. One is Peoria really became the center of track-type tractors being built across the world, because originally when Holt came to Peoria, they had less than 20 employees, I believe, in 1909. And the numbers, because the plant expansion to create tractors for the war effort, you know, it doubled and tripled in size. So it really set the East Peoria plant as being the main area of production. The other thing is, because Holt became so bogged down in creating tractors for the war effort, there wasn't research and development going in on their product, and C.L. Best was able to take over the domestic market. The other thing is, he came out with a revolutionary tractor during this time period called the Cat, or which was the Best 60, and ended up going on the Caterpillar line. And to give you an idea, the genetics of that tractor are still on our line today in the D8. So he came out with this revolutionary tractor, and when the war ended, Best was able to take up that market share. And to give you an idea, Holt was 6 times bigger than Best, but Best was more profitable. So in 1925, it kind of made sense that these two companies merged. Holt had like a worldwide name of Caterpillar, and we always like to give the example is everyone called track-type tractors Caterpillars. It was kind of like Kleenex of facial tissue. But Best had this great machinery, and they had a great management team. So when they merged, you found that you had the best management team. C.L. Best was our first chairman. They called the company Caterpillar, and they kept the East Peoria plant.
So it's at that time that Caterpillar becomes more of a household name?
Absolutely.
What happens in World War II?
Well, you know, World War II was like another watershed for our equipment. So before, even, you know, we were still, I would say, an ag company, though our equipment was being made for moving earth. But really, by the end of the war, we were an earth-moving company. We'll make the analogy to that we were kind of very much the company that we are today after World War II, because it was really in World War II where people learned how advantageous it was to have a dozer blade on a machine. And really, it was recognized like the bulldozer as being just as important as things like the submarine and the aircraft carrier, you know, because, you know, they stormed the beaches of Normandy. They were made to build airports across islands in the Pacific. And then after the war, you know, this equipment was across Europe, and we then started building plants and stuff because people knew our brand, and it brought our brand really overseas.
Did Caterpillar have any significant role in more recent war efforts, Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that probably any U.S. kind of conflict, our machinery, you know, has been there to support the effort.
You'll be speaking March 13th at the McLean County Museum of History, talking about Caterpillar's history as it relates to World War One. This is a time when Central Illinois relies heavily on its largest employers like Caterpillar, State Farm, ADM. Everybody's kind of looking for signs about their plans for the future. So what do you think we can learn about Caterpillar's future by looking into its past?
The thing that we like to tell the story is a lot of people, you know, outside of CAT and inside of CAT think that really this global product and this global brand is kind of more of a recent thing, more of a World War II thing. And a lot of people don't really realize that over 100 years ago, I mean, our machines were on every continent but Antarctica. And now we kind of talk about our machines are on every continent, including Antarctica. And I think really the past will tell you a little. If you look back to the past, it'll give you an idea where how you can tell stories in the future, because it's really, in certain ways, not all that much different.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm speaking with Lee Fosberg, Supervisor of Heritage Services at Caterpillar. So, Lee, how does one become a historian, an archivist, for one of the largest companies in the world?
Well, an archivist is really, you would say, an interdiscipline between kind of the realms of history and library science. You know, you need the background of a historian to kind of select and do things and have the knowledge of history. And then the library science part is right. People ask for stuff from us, and we have to be able to find it. We're information managers. And so it's kind of the degree that I got was a master's degree that was both in history and library science.
Why is it important for a company to know its own history and to share that history?
Well, you know, the one thing that we like to always tell the story is one of our former chairmen, he used to always say that our history is really differentiates us between us and our competitors. So in a very kind of, you would say, subtle way, it helps us to sell machines, and we can say that we've been doing this over 100 years, and we've been doing this, you know, better than everyone else.
People may have this vision of archivists who only work in a museum or in academia. What's it like to be a historian and an archivist for a company? Because you've sort of done it all.
I would say the big difference is this. At a corporate archives, we are very much, you know, we do have, you know, internal research, we do external research, but really where we add value back to the company is the storytelling that we do. So we really act both as kind of a communications function, but we also act as a marketing function. So, for example, anything that you see that runs like off of Cat social media and the stories and a lot of times the video was all developed within our team.
That's Lee Fosberg, Supervisor of Heritage Services at Caterpillar. He'll be speaking March 13th at the McLean County Museum of History, talking about Caterpillar's history as it relates to World War I. I'm Ryan Denham.
If you want more local history, the McLean County Museum of History will host The Walls Speak, Illinois State University's story, through its campus buildings on April 7th. You can find more community events at our website, wglt.org.